Your bellies are full. I want one person to be uncomfortable tonight. The devil. I want him to be so uncomfortable that he leaves his place. And God will come in and just fill us all with an anointing that this building can't stand. That's been my prayer for months. Brother Andre and I have got together and thought that we would put this together. I know that some of you don't know us because you're younger, but we used to come up here 70s, 80s, and you were just family. And then life and things happened, and some of us ran away from the message. Some of us stayed, but now we're back together again. And we don't worry about the past. We're looking toward the future. We're looking toward the future of a future home so that we can get out of this place. But we've got to be united together first. We've got to be able, if we can't live together here, we're not going to live together there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. But that's why we come together to fellowship one with another. We're going to hear the word of God. That's the most important thing. I appreciate all of our this is our people here from Spoken Word Church in Louisville, Georgia. We thank you all for absolutely, I'm not going to call all your names, but I know one thing's for sure. Brother Jerry, where you at? Brother Albert Lee, you wouldn't eat any of them birds and hot dogs if you hadn't been for those two guys slaving over the bread like this. And all of you sisters and brothers that helped with the local assembly, we sure do appreciate that, brother. Andre's been a friend for a long time, and we sure do love him, and we appreciate him, and thank him for opening the door to let us come in. And I told him, I said, you open the door, bro, we're going to take over. So, but we want to take over for the Lord. Amen. We don't want to take over for any publicity. We want to take over for the Lord. So we brought a big group up with us, and we sure do appreciate each and every one of you. We appreciate Brother Joel Brown coming and speaking for us. And he's a real servant of the Lord. He's a local fellow, so he's not far from here. So we appreciate him. There's one thing for sure. How many people in here are left-handed? Dorothy, raise your hand. You're left-handed, aren't you? If left-handed people, you're going to have a preacher tonight that's in his right mind. Brother Joel Brown is left-handed. So he's going to preach to us from the right side of the brain. We sure do appreciate him being right. We had a meeting a couple years ago, I think it was, me and you and Brother Darrell Ward. And I told the congregation, I said, man, you've never seen three preachers in their right mind in one place. And we were. But good to be with you and good to see you. Let's enjoy ourselves. Brother I keep looking over there and I see, not Joel. We got Brother Joel over here, he's going to be singing, Brother Andre. But before we do, if anybody has an unspoken prayer request, I know we don't have time to call them all out, but if you'll just raise your hand to the Lord, I know we all have special requests, family, friends, somebody that's sick, and let's just bow our heads and pray for these needs. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray tonight that you'll meet every need, Father, because every hand that was raised defied gravity. They raised their hands, Lord, to you. And now I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll touch every need, Lord. Some physical, Lord. We pray for our families and friends and different ones, Lord, that are not serving you. We have some that are sick even here in the building, Father, in body. And we pray, Lord, that you would lift them up, Lord, for your honor and glory. Father, we pray that you'll take total preeminence of this service tonight, Lord. Use each one, the musician, the song leader. Use each one in a special way, Lord, and just be with us now and further on this service. We give it to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Andre. Now, when we get finished, we can hang around in fellowship. There'll be more food to eat, so they'll bring it out, and we'll be able to fellowship around the food also. But let's fellowship around the Word of God first. God bless you.
Bless you. May be seated for a moment. Brother Brandon said the nicest thing you can say to anyone is God bless you.
Amen.
And God bless you, sir. We get to see you here tonight. We thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity, as David said in Psalms 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And again, our Lord said in St. John 17, when he was praying to the Father, that they may be one.
Amen.
And how thankful we are. We know it's the Holy Spirit that brings that unity of the body in this time.
Amen.
As Brother Branham said, the same Holy Ghost that justified the Lutherans, that sanctified the Wesleyans, that baptized the Pentecostals, is uniting the bride for the rapture in this hour. And when we see the move of God, how thankful we are for men like Brother Wade, who, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, knowing that it would take the unity, if there is anything, we want to get that behind us and put it under the blood.
Amen.
We want to do that.
Amen.
How thankful we are tonight to have Brother Joel Brown with us.
Amen.
Been knowing Brother Joel for many years. We appreciate him and his ministry, his lovely family. We thank the Lord for our wonderful pastors here. Brother Samuel Dale has meant so much to all of us. All of us. I remember when I was doing missionary work down in the Grenadian Islands in a place called Pitney Marnica. And I met this saint there, and she said to me, "Brother Andre, I have a tape, and I've learned so much on predestination." And I asked her, "Who's the pastor? Who's preaching on that tape?" She said, "It's a Brother Samuel Dale. Do you know him?" I said, "I know him very well.
Amen.
Very well."
Amen.
So let's get it. Brother Dale, we love you and we thank you.
Amen.
For the ministry that God has given you. Has just been a great blessing to us to know our position, predestination and foreknowledge, election, ordination, many things that you've taught us over the
Amen.
Years through the scriptures has helped us to know who we are and where we come from. And so we thank the Lord for precious Brother Dale, and
Amen.
We can't forget Sister Peggy, his lovely wife. And she is so special and such a beautiful sister. Baby, I'm not quoting from a country song, but we love a lady that stands by her man. God bless you, Richard.
Amen.
How we thank the Lord for Brother Wilson,
Amen.
Richard Wilson.
Amen.
What a teacher of the Scriptures.
Amen.
You know, when I first heard Brother Wilson many, many years ago, and there was a couple of brothers, Brother Joseph Cannon and I, Brother Moore, and different ones, and I thought, my, what a wonderful gift that God has placed in Brother Richard Wilson's ministry, his life. And Brother Wilson, you are indeed, when Jesus, or the Apostle Paul quoted in Ephesians 5, speaking of the gifts that God gave to his body, office gifts that he put for the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
And one of those gifts, not only pastor, but also teacher, to
Amen.
Be able to teach.
Yep.
And show us where we are in the Scripture. So let's just give the Lord a hand for Brother Richard.
Amen.
And of course, his lady too, Sister Janet. Let's give her a hand. She's so wonderful. We're their neighbors. They've been there many years, and so they were making reference to the neighbors, but the other neighbors. And when they were talking about the other neighbors, I was telling my wife, "I'm glad we're not those neighbors. Those are the bad neighbors. We're the good neighbors." But we thank the Lord for Sister Janice. She is such a lovely lady, and God has richly blessed her and her husband. She's got a lovely family. We were with them yesterday and just had a great time. And Brother Terrence and his wife, they've been looking after his mom and dad there, and so it's certainly good. And then Brother Wilson's son also.
Amen.
And we want to say this, how we thank the Lord for you all making the sacrifices to come up from Georgia. Well, in reality, I am a Georgia boy.
That's right, buddy.
Born and raised
yep.
in Marietta, and so Georgia's always on my mind. You know?
Amen.
When my wife is not on my mind, George is on my mind.
That's right. Amen.
But I'm thankful for the sacrifices
Amen.
You've all made, all of you. So
Amen.
I see you.
Right.
I know your names. And when I can just thank, Lord, they'd come up, I had tears rolling down my face, and I thought, Lord, give them traveling nurses, those that are coming up, and when they stop to get something to eat, or they get gas in their car, and so it takes sacrifice to do that. And you did not have to come. Some wanted to come, were not able to come.
Right.
But you did come.
Amen.
And so I want to thank you all for coming and being with us and showing that, as the Apostle Paul said, we're many members, but we're one body.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Christ is our head.
Amen. Right.
We're thankful for all these wonderful musicians that they brought up. And of course, I always thank the Lord for my dear friend, Brother Joseph Canada.
Right.
And I want to say this. You know, and then I'll hush, I apologize. You know, being in the ministry and for so many years, and missionary work for so many years, 20-something years of missionary work, and the different countries that the Lord has permitted me to go and help start churches, and et cetera, et cetera. Nothing that I had planned to do, only the will and the grace of God.
Amen.
But when I see this group that we have here in Irwin, Tennessee,
yeah.
I love them. Irwin, I love you.
Amen.
I've worked with the Venezuelans, with the in Colombia, in Brazil, Guyana, in the islands, lived in Grenada, all those places the Lord has sent me. You're all beautiful. You're all wonderful. But the group here that God has, as I said, I'm your brother.
Amen.
I love this group in Irwin. And we don't want to, you know, I'm a former U.S. Marine. We don't leave anyone behind.
That's right, brother.
And so I thank the Lord for Brother Albert Law.
Yes.
Such a foundation.
Yes.
Always standing for truth.
Amen.
And him and his wife, his family. We lifting up Sister Sherry there.
Yes.
You know, in this time, precious time for her.
Amen.
And all these men in our church, there's some that are not here tonight. They all wanted to be here. We're thankful for that.
Amen.
One more thing, and then we'll give it to Brother Joseph. It's a special day today. I remember my mother, she's gone on to be with the Lord, but she told me a long time ago, it was her birthday. And her birthday is February 15th. And she asked me, she said, Andre, she said, you know what today is? And I said, sure, Mother, it's February 15th. And she said, shame on you. And I said, shame on you. She said, yeah, it's my birthday, and you forgot it. How could you forget my birthday? I'm your mother. And so from that time on, I never forgot my mother's birthday. I always, and then when I, in my jobs, I would take my mother every year. I would take her to Florida. She loved to go to St. Augustine. We'd go to St. Augustine. We'd go down to Disney World. She didn't care about Mickey Mouse, but she loved Universal Studios and those places. And we'd also go to SeaWorld and then head over to Busch Gardens, then on our way up to Okeechobee and those places. And I'm only saying that to say this. It's another lady's birthday today. She's a special lady. We love her here. Her husband, my dear, dear friend, Brother Harvey, went to be with the Lord there a year or so ago, and how we miss him and love him. Looking forward to seeing him in the resurrection.
Amen.
But won't you put your hands together for Sister Tree Peterson? It's her birthday today. God bless you. We're looking forward to hearing Brother Joel.
Amen.
God bless you.
Church, formerly Happy Valley, Brother Donnie Reagan's pastor, and
God is just good. That's all we can say. Now, it's not so much that you know who I am, other than Joel Brown. I'm just an old simple country boy from Virginia originally. Grew up in a holler, no running water. We carried and toted and fetched, just like the prophet talked about, just simple poor people. And, you know, but one day I met somebody who changed my life forever. Now, I grew up in the message, per se. I was about 2 years old. My mom began, you can have a seat just a moment. My mom, just to do a little bit of an introduction to get rid of some of my nervousness. I know some of you are wondering, because there's nosy people everywhere you go. Now, this is just me. I'm going to be me, all right? Because quite frankly, I don't know how to be anybody else. So if you're looking for somebody that you can just tweak a little bit and make them do and say what you want them to do, y'all need that one? Okay. So if you're looking for somebody that you can manipulate, I'm not the man. I'm not the person. Huh. Just a simple guy. But coming to know the Lord, my mom was about, I was about 2 years old, my mom started going to a message church, so I grew up in the message, and I was familiar with that voice, but one day when I was in college, actually, almost 21 years old, there was just something happened in my life, and to this day, I don't remember exactly what was said. I went to a meeting on campus. It was a minister there, just a denominational guy, and he held services periodically on campus, and I just went out of curiosity, and just something spoke to me and said, "It's your time. It's your time." So there was no flashing lights. The ground didn't shake and all of that, but it was just my time. And maybe something tonight will be said in this service that will change your life forever. Now, there's two things that I'm certain of. Two things that I'm certain of for this service is that I'm a simple person. And I know that I'm supposed to be here. And because of those two things, it allows me to know one more thing. That there's going to be somebody whose life is going to be impacted. Now, the Bible tells us that those, once you are converted, strengthen your brother. Now, I've come to say it this way. Those of you who are sanctified, who are saved, and are okay in your walk with the Lord, you can strengthen your brother, your sister that's sitting beside you, by saying amen to the word of God. Because that amen will begin to create an atmosphere. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God is good. A little unconventional. This is totally, completely out of the ordinary for me. I was talking about being nervous. I was so nervous I forgot to print out my notes. So don't be fooled by this thing. I don't do it. You know, this is not me. This is not how I normally do things. But so with that being so, I know God's going to do something special. Amen. God is good. I don't think I'm going to sing. I won't do that. I do sing, but I don't think I'm going to. So God bless you, musicians. Thank you. Amen. So this is a youth service. How many young folk we got in the place tonight? Praise the Lord. I expect to see every hand. Because see, we're on our way to an eternal youth service. So we're just getting in practice for that youth service. Let me ask that question again. How many young folk we have in the building tonight? Okay, y'all better catch up. You say, I'm 82, I'm 70. You're young. You're on your way back too. Amen. Get stirred up tonight. Ah, praise the Lord. If you have your adoption papers, stand with me. Your Bible. That's your adoption papers, saints. Come on now, I need some amens. I can't do this by myself. By the way, talking about left-handed folk, preachers and being in our right minds. I hope to give you my whole heart tonight. Not so much my mind, that's the intellect, but my heart. Something that the Lord dropped in my heart to give to you tonight. A special gift from God Himself. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. My. Isn't God good? Isn't He wonderful? While I'm thinking of it, my three sons are here, and some of our friends from South Carolina. some of our family friends from South Carolina. But one of the young girls had a seizure episode right before they was getting ready to leave. So you all remember her in prayer. It's the devil stirring once again. But God is good. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. So they would have been here. My wife would have even been here if she wanted to come. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. And it reads, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's an honor and a joy to be standing before your purchase, Father, tonight. And Lord, as I've already shared with the people, I'm just a simple person and I have nothing within myself to bring. I have no agenda, no objective. I have no ulterior motive other than to show forth your glory and to express your heart to your people tonight, O God. May we be changed by the things that we hear. May that we be changed by the things that we receive, and we know that your word is light and your word is life. So illuminate our paths, dear God, by your very words, your very presence. Change even more so now the atmosphere in this room. You come on the scene and do what only you can do, and do as you've done many times before. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may have your seats. It's good to know the Lord, is it not? But you know, I was sharing with the brothers yesterday, some of them, even more so, it's better to be known of Him. There are so many people that can say they know the Lord, but does the Lord know you? Has He came and identified Himself within you? The prophet tells us that in the message here to Him, I think back in 1956, he says, we must be inspired by the Word of God, listen, that will bring God to His Word and make it act and do like it did in the days of old. So the word in itself will do nothing. You can sit and you can read the word of God, but the prophet tells us we have to be inspired by the word of God. And sometimes, I heard this just the other day, sometimes when we read the word of God, there's no effect, there's no emotion, there's nothing happens, it's just dry. But that don't mean we stop just because that's so. Even in the natural realm, with natural food, you don't stop eating just because you didn't like what you ate. You come back and you get some more. And eventually there will be something that will so inspire your taste buds that you want to go home and make that very thing. So maybe something will be on the buffet tonight that will suit your taste. And you will take it home and you say, I want to concoct that same recipe at home. But to be inspired by this word of God. Now, in our opening scripture, and I pray truly that I won't be long, and I'm really not a long-winded preacher, but I know a big God with a lot of things to say. I'll just place it that way. Is that alright? But I want us to just think of the thought this evening. The choosing of the stones. We're all familiar. In fact, this very story, David and Goliath, is probably one of the most told stories in all of the scripture. We've learned it since we were just little bitty tots, little bitty things. And so we've heard it over and over and over. But something a few months ago captivated my heart with just this very act alone of him going to that brook and choosing those stones. He was preparing himself for battle. And he didn't even realize what he was up against. He didn't even know what he was going to be faced with. He didn't even know what he would hear that would cause him to be truly unctuated or inspired by God himself. But the choosing of the stones. And so I'm saying in my prayer, we know that God is light and God is life. And we know how the prophet displays it, that God in his mind, he had all of these thoughts and these attributes, and he was just God. He existed by himself. He was just God with his thoughts, and he began to express those thoughts. And the way the prophet places it, if you all forgive me, I'm going to shut up right here. But, oh my. If you all are folk that have to have every word, da 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 da, y'all, again, y'all got the wrong guy. Blame it on Brother Wade. He was the one that called me. True or false? But the tremendous effect of the Word of God as it went forth, as he spoke those things. The prophet began to say it was like a clinker. He spoke it, and those words began to be projected out, and it fell for maybe millions of years, and then he stopped it. It was a star, it was the earth, all of these things beginning to come forth. But as he projected those words, there had to be something to receive those thoughts, those words. There had to be something that would be a receiving post for what God was giving out. And there has to be tonight in this service, there has to be somebody, someone to receive this word. Because God doesn't do anything without purpose. God has never been without a witness. Since the beginning of time, there has always been someone who can testify to the realities and to the fullness of who God was. To give an effect, to respond to what God was doing. So, a receiving post. There's something that's going out, that's being projected. And just because it's not happening within you right now, just because it may not be happening at your church, does not mean that God is not moving. Because this is a body move. It's not a one man move. It's not a one church move. It's a body move. As I've often said so many times, you get up in the middle of the night and you stuff that little bitty pinky toe on the bedpost. Woo! The little toe. Y'all know how that thing hurts. Is that right? And what do? That one member, you take these five or these ten things and you go and you minister to that need. Now God said to tell you that to say this. If you know somebody's in trouble, don't just dismiss them because of who they are and what they've done to you or what they've said to you. You go minister to a need. This is a body move. I'm meddling. Now shut up. The receiving post. The prophet says, and if you can be the receiving post to receive the word of God, then it's real to you. Listen to how he says this. Then it's real to you and it'll live like it was then. People say, well, I want to do something for the Lord. Be a receiving post. And the moment that you receive something from him, receive the word of God, then it becomes real to you. Huh? The voice of God is a sending post, so there has to be a receiving post. And the voice begins to pulse out and conduit or carrier of the juice, as the old folks, as I said, I'm just an old country boy. We called it juice when I was growing up. Power. You flip that switch, no, forgive me. We didn't flip a switch, we pulled that chain in the center of the... We didn't have switches. Just pull a little chain in the middle of the ceiling, a light bulb screwed in to a socket. But there was juice, there was power. And so here we have in the natural realm of that very thought, the power, the juice, there had to be a carrier of that current, that circuit. There had to be something to carry that and from the line to the transformer into the house and all that, these reducers and all of these things. So all that is the juice or the power, once you become that receiving post, everything that the juice is, everything that the power that the juice embodied is now in you. And it'll make you walk right. It'll make you talk right. It'll make you treat everybody right. Love. We have to love, saints. That's the embodiment of who Jesus Christ is. That's what he came to do, is to show us how to love. And if we can't love right, then we've missed the whole thing. Don't care how much you rally around, God sent a prophet. If you're not loving right, everybody, don't care what they look like, what they smell like, what they've done, what they are doing, what they're going to do, we have to love. Not love what they're doing, but we have to love. But this juice, this power, sometimes there's an interruption in the connection. And what happens? There's no more power. Everything goes quiet. You go to flip that switch and nothing happens. You sit down to read the Word of God and nothing is ignited. denied and nothing happens because somewhere the conduit has been clogged. Somehow, someway you've lost power. But the reality with that thing is the power has to be restored in order for you to be sustained in your life, in your journey. You can't go through this walk of life without the power, the juice of God. You can't do it. Especially with the forces and everything that's encroaching in upon the land today. What was once a boy is now wanting to be a girl. What was once a girl is wanting to become a boy. Perversion. It's encroaching in. It's tight. You've got to have power to escape these things. The choosing of the stones. We're here. We're just building a foundation. But there has to be a restoration of power. And until that power is restored, until that force of life comes back into the house, so to speak, into the body, is the house, as far as it being a house, is no longer effective. It can't function in the fullness of it being a house. You can't function fully as a child of God if the source of, if the power is not fully coming in. Yet the pulsation, get this, yet the pulsation, this is simple, I know, but I'm a simple person, y'all, excuse me, because you know, I say this constantly, my simple understanding is going to simply get me out of here one day. I have no desire to try to complicate this thing. In fact, I don't know how to do it anyway. Only thing I know is to tell how I know it. Tell it how I know it. But even though there's an interruption in the source of power, the pulsation is still there. The fullness of its potential has not diminished in force. The fullness of its potential has not diminished in power or ability. God is going to be God with you or without you. You may think that you're all that and that God really needs you to get His work done. No, He don't really need you. It's good if you come along. Because the power of that juice, the power of the force, the fullness of that power is still pulsating, and it's still being carried through the line. And it's right there. It's right there at the socket. It's right there. All we have to do is plug in. Get connected. You think you can stay away from church? No, that's not going to work. No. You've got to be connected to the source of power. And oftentimes, all it takes is inspiration to get that power back on. Inspiration on the spiritual side of things. We find out in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 7, we're introduced to a woman who didn't realize she herself was a receiving post for the power of the Most High God. She didn't know it. Mary, the prostitute. She didn't realize who she was. Because the circumstances of her life and the things that she had done brought upon her a reputation that was vile and looked down upon her by those around her. Because of the circumstances, things that she herself had done. Regardless if it was something that happened in her life that caused her to be that way, or things that took place in her life, is irregardless in respect to what I'm trying to bring tonight. But the fact is, where she was not giving her the ability to know that she could be plugged into that source. And as the accusers begin to throw their tongues around at her, all of these things were going on, and we know that it was there, the feast at Simon's house. You're familiar with the story. And I know you're well versed in these things, so I'm going to skip on a lot of the details. You all just fill it in later. But even in the midst of where she was and her condition of her life, and all of these men railing accusations at her and wondering why she was here, Jesus said to her, of the accusers, He said, "Let her alone. Let her alone." Sometimes we go to meddling where we don't need to be meddling. Jesus is saying, let her alone.
Because you see, saints, self-righteousness will always, always cause you to overlook others and exclude them from the economy of God. A self-righteous spirit will exclude and keep me. Oh, it's just going to be me. This old song, this old comical saying, ain't nobody saved but me. Ain't nobody saved but me. Ain't nobody saved, well, maybe two or three. Ain't nobody saved but me. Self-righteousness will cause you to exclude others. And it's always, self-righteousness is always ready to send others to hell. And not realizing the state that they're in is going to take them there too. Is that right? It's tight, saints. Remember the prophet talked about that woman. She was walking that line in those high-heeled shoes. And it got a little more narrow the closer she got. And she began to wobble and teeter. Take off your spiritual high-heeled shoes. I pray to God you don't have any real ones on. It's Brother Wade's fault. So here she was. She was trapped in a condition that nobody would help her. Think about that. Trapped in a condition that no one was there to help her. She might herself even believe that there was no hope for her. Because she'd gone so long in this lifestyle. Hear me, saints. Trapped in that condition. She'd gone so long in that she began to believe it, possibly even herself. And after all, she was the one that committed these acts. It was her. It was nobody else that did it. She was guilty of the act itself and the things that she did. Huh? Now you cute folk can think that I believe that you've never done anything wrong if you want to. We forget where we come from sometimes, saints. I know we're justified just as I never did. I know all those quotes. But self-righteousness will keep you out of the kingdom. Praise God for our position in Christ and where we are. But there's more to this thing than you. I've got to find a hiding place. But the thing is, she happened to come upon a scene one day, and the outcome would bring power back to her house. She came upon a scene, Jesus with dirty feet. We're familiar with the message that the prophet spoke, and I'm always amazed at listening to that, how it would just break him. He just began to weep and cry, and he couldn't, you know, the meanest man I know, and all of these messages would just break him. He couldn't even preach. But here Jesus was with dirty feet. How could we come to a service and not welcome him in? Huh? Young people, you've got a role to play. You have something to do. You can wash his feet too. Amen. You can do these things. Brother Brown says of Mary here, he says that she only had to be inspired to go into action. She only had to be inspired. She wasn't even supposed to be where she was. She was already doing something probably illegal, or that she wasn't even in the proper place. But inspiration struck her heart. She peeped through and she saw him there. She said, how in the world could this, I've heard about him and now I see him with my own eyes. How could it be that he's sitting there with dirty feet? How could the people come to the house of God, Brother Andre? How could they be hearing the word of God and just sit there and not be inspired? I don't understand it. I know the quote the prophet talks about my people, the black people, being hagged here. Inspiration will cause these old white feet to move sometimes too. Tell me I'm wrong. Huh? Because he says anything without emotion is what? Dead. What do you do with dead things? You bury them. Huh? Okay. Alright. That's okay. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. But inspiration, she only had to be inspired to go into action. She went forward without anything. Listen to how the prophet words this. She went forward without anything showing she could do it. Amen. There was nothing that she could lay her hands on. There was no scripture, there was no quote of the prophet that she could lay her hands on and say definitively, I can do this thing. No, she was inspired to do what she did. And he goes on to say, and she went forth on her inspiration. We are well familiar with the story of Job. Gathering of the stones, talking about inspiration, being that receiving post. Here we have another individual who was unctured by inspiration. But the thing was, even with Job, he too lost power to his house. Is that right? Everything that he knew, everything that he had, he lost. It was gone. Even his wife was talking crazy. His little sweetheart, his queen. Huh? So somewhere along the way, he lost power. But unlike Mary that we were just talking about, Job, the prophet talks about, Job had the mechanics in order. He had everything. He knew all the rituals. He had it all in order. The mechanics were right there. He was just lacking the dynamics, the prophet said. Now, message folk don't like to hear those things. Well, I ain't losing my dynamics. Let a storm come ruin in your house. You know, the thing about homosexuality, why am I going here? Lord have mercy. The thing about this, that very thing is it's railed against until it happens in your house. Until it comes knocking on your door. Until it's your little baby, your grandchild. Lord have mercy. Is that right? But Job, he was just lacking the dynamics. And it's interesting, I think. The prophet says Job needed a channel of inspiration. He had it open. Mary didn't even have a channel. She didn't even know that she could be a receiver of power. And here you have an individual that had a channel. And he even had his channel open. Because the prophet says he had a channel to communicate with God by his inspiration. Job was a prophet. Prophet. I ain't going there. I'm going to shut up on that. I'll get in trouble. But he had a channel to communicate with God by his inspiration. He had, listen to the way the prophet, I love this. He had a way of moving himself out and let the word of God move in. Oh my. Job had a way of moving himself out of the way and giving God the opportunity to move in. I shall not be moved. That's what some people do. They sing that song and they ain't moved one bit in 50 years. Shame on you. We're going to a land of eternal bliss. We're going to a land of eternal youth. You say, well, my back hurts. I don't care. Praise the Lord anyhow. My big toe is sore. I just have to praise the God. Praise the Lord anyhow. Sometimes we got to praise our way through our circumstances. Job couldn't get a word from God, but the prophet says, I love this. Job couldn't get a word from God, but the devil couldn't move him. Haven't heard God speak and deal with me. Haven't felt the move of God in years, but the devil could not move you. Young people, let that be your foundation tonight. You settle it with your walk with the Lord. The devil is not going to move me. Even though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. Because the prophet said Job had a grip on God. Could you imagine that? This prophet, this man of God, he had such a grip on God. Why? Because it was a revelation. And once you get a revelation, there's nobody anywhere that can take that thing away from you. It don't matter if mama understands it, daddy understands it, grandmama who you love with all your heart understands it. It's a revelation that's just for you. I was preaching just a few weeks back, and as I was ministering, this little thought just dropped so real into my heart. I was just speaking about how Mary, when the angel of the Lord came to her and spoke those words, and she said, be it unto me. I'll receive it. I'll do this very thing that you're wanting me to do. Yes. Did she understand it? No. Could she fully comprehend it? No. But she said, I will. And the moment she did, that eternal life that she was to protect and shield. Think about it. A little teenage girl. Here we are in a youth meeting. A little teenage girl received a word from God and said, I will protect this word with all that's within me. And when that word was birthed forth, it changed the world forever. And the way the thought came to me then was this. That as the word is going forth, even tonight, as the word is going forth, if you will receive the word of God and allow that word to be birthed in you and you protect and shield, the prophet says you protect this message the way that it's going. If you will receive it and protect it, eventually you will give birth to the very word. And that word that you protected, that God instilled within you, that entrusted you with, it will change your world. Somebody that you would have an influence in. Somebody at school. You say, well, I'm homeschooled. Maybe it'll change your daddy. My kids, pray for your mom and dad. Pray for your dad. Glory. 1 Samuel 17:1 says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah in Ephesdamim. That word Shokah means bushy. But the thing that captivated me with this verse in particular is this. The Philistines had gathered together, the enemy, had gathered themselves together on land, as the Bible says, that belonged to Judah. What's Judah mean? Praise. The devil had then camped out on their praise. This is my land. This is my territory. This is my opportunity. This is the place where I praise the Lord. This is my home. This is my daughter. This is my son. You don't have to back up from the devil. Because the enemy, the Philistines, have come to gather on the land of Judah. He's coming to encroach himself upon your land of praise. And no doubt they had started out, the Philistines, they had staked out the land beforehand and thought this will be a pretty good place to set up camp. You don't think the devil's not plotting on you. Sis, he's seen how you've been reading your Bible. He's seen the sincerity of your heart. And he's staking you out. He's watching you. Because he's going to try to come in and take your praise. He's going to try to come in and take your experience. But don't let him. The prophet talked about how the serpent, how he courted Eve. He took his time. He staked out that land. And coming on down through chapter 1, go read it later, but again, you're familiar with the story. We learn of and are made very familiar with Goliath. We learn about his stature, how big he was, and we learn about his position, his rank, and he was this champion. Whoa, champion. We learn about his boast. We learn about his armament, how he was dressed and how he was arrayed and all of these things. And we also see how his words cover the valley with depression and anxiety. Hear me now. Depression and anxiety is such a strong spirit that's attaching itself to the youth today. Listen, it's time you be set free. If you're battling with that thing, depression, anxiety, suicide. Now, the thing is, many times we talk about certain things, and these are real things that are happening in the land today. But as parents, sometimes we don't want to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. You might be setting your child up for destruction. You have those hard conversations. Listen, Mom, listen, Dad. You have those hard, tough conversations with your child. Even if you had it last week, have it again if you see the needs there. Well, you take it whatever you want. You know? But his words covered the valley with depression and anxiety. He made his boast. Verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, watch what it did. They were dismayed and greatly afraid because of the words of the devil. Made them afraid, greatly afraid, not just fearful, but greatly afraid. That word dismayed means to be shattered, be dismayed, be broken, be abolished, be afraid, be scared, to be terrified. How many's been afraid before? Praise God, we got some saints among us that never been afraid of anything. I want to rub shoulders with you tonight. Get a little bit of on me. But we're trapped in this thing called time. And these sometimes circumstances and things happen that we be shaken in our boots. But even yet in that time, that present time, that the circumstances that they're railing around us and the winds are blowing, we can stand steady in our faith. We can stand steady in knowing that our God is more than able. Because Goliath's message, it birthed depression and anxiety. These people running around saying, well, I've got life. They look at the message and say, well, I'm free. Not knowing that they're trapped. They're on their way to hell. The devil's pulled one over on them. You stay in this word, young people. You stay in this word, young man. Stay in it. You say, Brother Joel, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Be inspired by it. And say, God, I've read and I go to church and I hear the word. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Help bow my unbelief. Huh? Give me a grip like Job had that nothing can shake me. Even death itself cannot shake me. So he said they weren't just afraid, but they were exceedingly afraid. And I find that just humanly, I understand it. I get it. But yet at the same time, I'm thinking, what? These are the children of Israel. Choosing of the stones. That word Israel means God prevails. So every time you see the word Israel and you read it in the Bible, God prevails. But yet, because of the words of the enemy, they were shaking in their boots and they didn't know what to do. And after all, Israel was God's favorite people. They were called out. They were the church, natural. Huh? They were the ones who were led by the angel of the covenant, which was Christ. We've also been led by an angel. We've received a sure word of promise. We've received a message that has transformed once again the entire world. But yet, we find ourselves afraid and fearful sometimes. Because why? The enemy comes in and makes his boast. So here we have these things going on. Goliath in this battle. And as we know the story as it unfolds, on the scene comes little David. And this particular scripture, this story rather, it was before David, before he was known as we know him now, of course. Yes. All these great things. He hadn't yet killed Goliath. And then we could say, hey, call David on the scene. But see, David was just a teenager. Somewhere, the historians and things say, the scholars and things say, somewhere between the age of 13 and some even say 16. But most have it tagged between 13 and 15. But some put him around 16. So that puts him in your category. Little David doing this mighty, mighty, wonderful thing. Huh? So all of this is going on, and David arrives on the scene with food for his brothers. The prophet says in the message God's commissioning Moses, the prophet, old Goliath came out and made a great big ha 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 ha. That's better. That's more realistic, isn't it? Okay. But he comes out and he makes this great big boast and he's laughing. And he said it one too many times. He said it one too many times. Devil, it's time for you to shut up. Under inspiration, not even knowing what he was getting ready to do. Huh? There happened to be a little fellow over there, just about so high, you know, with a little sheepskin coat wrapped around him. And he said, who's that guy? You know, probably, you know, he was coming to bring his brother food. And I can just imagine maybe You know, he's making this little stroll. He don't know what's happened so far. And he's just being David, just being a kid. You know, who's that guy? And he looks over here and sees his brothers and sisters, all of the host of the army, rather. And they're just trembling and shaking. Why isn't David fearful? He hadn't yet got the report. But even once he gets the report, what does he do? He stands firm in his faith. Because he knew if God can do it once, he can do it again. But he says, who's this fellow? Why? They said, that's Goliath. My, he's just got everything stumped around here. And David says, why? Do you mean to tell me that you will let that uncircumcised Philistine stand there and defy the armies of the living God? Now, mom and dad, you mean to tell me you're going to let that little child of yours rule the roost? That's the spirit on that child. Is that right? That's the spirit on it. And you have the authority. Dads, take your position in the home. You have the authority. If dad's not there, mom, you have the authority to bring that spirit under control. Is it going to be easy? Probably not. But you're called to do it. God entrusted that little character into your care. You remember that little baby that you just love so much? It's a little guy that's grown up. You should have taught it something when it was 3 and 4 and 5. I know Brother Donnie's mentioned so many times. He says, you won't raise your kids, and then when they get 14, 15, 16, and they're just wayward and they're just crazy, then you bring them to me and expect me to wave some magic wand over them. Bring them to Brother Andre, bring them to Brother Wade, Brother Dale, bring them to the ministry. Expect them to do something great and tremendous. It should have started when they were just wee little bitty things. Well, I want you to come back. That's okay. You're going to hear the truth tonight. Now, that wasn't David, he says. No, sir, hallelujah. There was a lot of fight in that boy. Nah, yes, sir. He knew what God had promised. And you mean to tell me that you will let these uncircumcised Philistines tell you that the days of miracles is past? Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. He either is or he isn't. He either meant it or he didn't. Now, the thing is, you either believe it or you don't. That's the summation of my walk with the Lord. God either meant what he said or he didn't, and I either believe it or I don't. Don't care about all this other stuff. Get trapped up and have that cow eating grass in the top of a tree. How'd the cow get up there? You put him up there. Could you imagine what it would take to get a cow up in a tree? The work and effort that it would take you to get a cow in a tree. But all that you have to do is believe the Lord. How simple is that? Nah. And he said, oh, if some of you guys come out here and fight me, this is what Goliath said, I will make you a proposition. Now, when the devil thinks he has the upper hand, he's going to make a lot of proposals. But the moment that he realizes that there's power, that there's deity in you, young sisters, young brothers, listen, the moment the devil realizes there's deity in you, you are tabernacling the Most High God. Deity is in you. And the moment he realizes that, he's going to back up. The prophet illustrated it wonderfully. He said, and I love that of all the quotes in the message, the one that I love the most is just a three little word with a comma and the word devil. And that's boo. Think about it. He said the devil comes in making his boast and he said, boo, boo. And we get little and little and little. All we have to do is rise up within the strength that's within us and say boo back. That's simple. You say, well, I got to fold my hands a certain way, and I got to scroll through the message to find this perfect quote. No, he simply said, boo, devil. I bet the Methodist church has never heard that. Let it echo through these walls and across the way, all the way through Irwin. Let it echo out, boo, devil, because he's coming in with such a force. He's mighty in the land. He's the self-proclaimed champion of them all. But there has to come some little Davids. the choosing of the stones. And I can imagine, as David, he heard that boast and he heard what the enemy was trying to bring. Now, I'm sure he didn't just run down to the brook and just, or the area there, just snatch up some rocks. He was deliberate and intentional with what he chose. Because why? He was inspired. Because anything just won't do. The prophet tells us, don't you let anybody just cram any kind of revelation down your throat. Don't just pick up any stones. Be intentional. Be deliberate about what you pick up. Because God's going to use it to do something tremendous. The choosing of the stones. God had a little boy back there with a shepherd's coat on who knew God and knew God kept his word. How many knows God keeps his word? He promised us that he would do these things. There happened to be somebody there that believed God. David had that grip, I believe. David had a grip on God. Just as Job had. Why? Oh, Goliath was covered over with steel all up and down like that, just one little spot. And here he comes across to meet him, a little bitty fellow about like this. And Goliath about like that, standing there with his spear ready to pick him up and hang him up on a tree somewhere. Here comes little David, just a bouncing in the spirit. Pentecostal David. Bouncing in the spirit. He wasn't doing this. He didn't come to church like this. Are you happy to be here tonight? How many love the Lord? No! David come bouncing across the territory. He come to church excited. He come to church already stirred up. My.
Yes, sir.
Well, he said, Brother Joel, you want us to be like you? No. I want you to get a hold of something that will inspire you. He had five smooth stones in a sling and five fingers wrapped around a sling. The prophet tells us J-E-S-U-S F-A-I-T-H. That's what he had. And he got the things to working out. And around and around and around he began to take that little sling. He began to go around and around. He got it worked out just right. He did what he had to do and witnessed. The prophet says, and when you get faith in Jesus Christ, working in a perpetual motion in your soul, not lip service, but something working and stirring up in your soul, or a perpetual, that's a big word for a Kentucky hillbilly, perpetual motion in your soul, something's going to take place. Sin and sickness will get away from you. Devils will scatter. Young people, this isn't food just for mom and dad. This food is for you as well. Here David was, just a little bitty guy. He was a teenager. Hear me. He was a teenager doing these mighty things. He got a perpetual motion in, I love that, perpetual motion in his soul, and something's going to take place. You're discouraged, you're depressed, you're under anxiety, you're suicidal. Get some perpetual emotions, maybe something tonight in this message will just stir you up and say, I'm going to rise to my feet and I'm going to be that overcomer. The Holy Ghost shot that rock, that stone. The Holy Ghost took that revelation right up to that Philistine and killed him. He goes on to say, when you get faith in Jesus Christ, working in perpetual motion, watch this, something's going to take place. Sin and sickness will get away from you. Devils will scatter like roaches on the floor in the summertime when the lights turn on. Roaches, Brother Joe, I don't got roaches. The prophet said you do. Roaches. People don't like, I'm too clean for roaches, Brother Joe. I'm not talking about the natural roaches. He's talking about these spiritual little things. They are there. All you have to do is turn on the light. Living in darkness, you will never see the roaches. Come out of the condition that you're in. Come away from sin. Come away from depression. Come away from anxiety. And flip on the light of the Word in your life and allow the roaches to scatter. And here's the thing, as they're scattering, what do? You go find them. You go chase after them. Serve it on roaches. Find some roaches to stomp. Well, these are my new shoes. Stomp those roaches. I'll buy you. Hey, I'll buy you some new ones. Stomp those roaches. That's what the prophet said. I'm going to read that again because you didn't like it. Sin and sickness will get away from you. Devils will scatter like roaches on a floor in the summertime when the lights turn on. Amen. The reason why you don't think you have roaches because you're not leaving the light on long enough. You don't let the power go out in your house and there's no source for the lights to come on. And roaches are all around you and they're eating your food, the food that you pick up and eat too. Hello, cute folk. Who is this for? Blame it on Brother Wade, Brother Andre. Roaches, roaches, roaches. Brother Joy, you're making me feel home. I hope I do. Get it out of your life. Turn on the light. Get plugged in. You go flip that switch and nothing happens. You're not plugged in. The conduit's plugged up somewhere. The smoke sack is plugged up somewhere. Let's get it cleaned up. About the time I started. Praise the Lord. Brother, I'm telling you, it sent the rock to the killing place. I love that. And down went the light. That perpetual motion, that around and around and around and around, it sent the rock right to the killing place. David didn't construct this thing. David didn't figure this thing out. David didn't have the intellect. David didn't have the ability. But he had a God that was on the inside of him that inspired him to do something that nobody else was willing to do. Maybe mom and dad won't do it. Young people, you rise up and you do it. You call a family time of prayer. And I know things are crazy and time is encroaching, but just ain't so busy. But you call, mom and dad, let's have devotion tonight. You watch the atmosphere change. It'll drop conviction in your daddy's heart. I promise. You want to see a change in daddy? You want to see a change in mom? You call the family altar. Well, I'm a sister. You call the family altar. You see the path that mom and daddy are on. You see the destruction that they're headed toward. You love them dearly. You call. Little David, little Mary, you call. You say, be it unto me, Lord. I'll do it. Under your inspiration, not even having the know-how to do it, you do it. And I promise you, God will be there to meet you at your saying, be it unto me. I promise you. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his own sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. So the thing with this, the choosing of the stones, and I know I said a lot, but my thought, this inspiration came with just the deliberateness that David took. You can't just run through life. You can't just have an experience. You can't just come to church and you know, there's more to this message than just this message. There's more to God sending a prophet than God sending a prophet. There's a life that comes behind it. Many people, they'll come up to Calvary and they'll camp out at the base of Calvary. And that's a good place to be. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But they'll just come to Calvary and they'll go no further. But there's a life on the other side of Calvary. There's something yet to do once you've come and met this resurrected Savior. There's more to do. 1 Samuel 17:51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out. I just read that. But the thing is with this, one of the points I want to bring is that once you kill, once you destroy the bigger thing, once you destroy Goliath, what happens in verse 51? And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, what did they do? They fled. They didn't just walk away nonchalantly. They didn't go quietly. They fled. So these little things that are bothering you, you find out what that big thing is and you kill it. You you destroy it. Don't toy around with it. Don't play around with it. You destroy it. If you have to unplug your phone, if you have to get rid of your laptop, your computer, you do that. If that thing is destroyed, leading you to destruction, you get rid of it.
My. TikTok keeping you up late at night. You get up and you're irritable in the morning. You fuss it with your brothers and your sisters and your mom and your daddy. Shut it down. What's it doing? It's zapping your life. It's zapping your energy. I at least thought mom and dad would say amen. Y'all come with me. We all know this thing together. But you destroy the bigger things and the others of the encampment will flee. That word Philistine means an immigrant. They don't belong here. They didn't belong in the land in verse 1, which belonged to Judah, but they had encamped on that land. Philistines, an immigrant. So the illegals had gathered together on land that wasn't even theirs, all in order to wage a war. The devil's coming in your house and saying he's going to start a fight. No, it don't work that way, devil. Mom, dad, listen to me. It don't work that way. The devil's going to come in your house? It don't work that way. Is that right? So the illegals had gathered together. This was Judah's territory. This was a land of praise and worship. Because David was just a little teenager. Now, giant slayers don't have to be old. So many times we get in our mind, and as young people, I did it too, and we think, well, wait till I turn whatever age, that magical age, 21, whatever. You know, we think, well, I gotta be old and before God can use me. No. We've heard clearly, we've seen in the scriptures, God will use teenagers. God will use and has used and will continue to use young people, even to the dismay of the older ones that are doing nothing for him. David was a teenager. But he took his time when he chose those rocks. He had to make sure that he chose the right ones. He didn't even know. Listen to this. He did not even know he was going to kill Goliath. He had no idea. He just come out now to bring his brothers some lunch. That's all he came to do. You just show up at school one day with your backpack on your back, not knowing that you're getting ready to kill a Goliath. That thing is coming at you at your locker day after day after day, and you get more depressed and more depressed, and you're more suicidal and more suicidal. But today will be the day that you kill that Goliath. Amen. Amen. Gain strength, gain some inspiration. The people in the halls there at school, they're not under the same inspiration as you are. They're giving vent to vaping and smoking and having sex and all of these things. Y'all know what's going on. Help me out, old people. We sit back and we're quiet about these things. And our children and our children's friends are dying inside. Well, that's not, I don't want to say it. I don't want to offend, but you're going to lose your child. This stuff is real. I done told you. I know I'm supposed to be here. And I know God's going to change somebody's life. I know this word was supposed to be spoken. It's broken up and it may not make sense to you, but it's making sense to somebody. Shamgar. We're closing. Shamgar. His defeat. Listen. His defeat was affecting his entire family. Year after year, it affected that they took their crops, so that they were dwindling away in their health. It was affecting his family because he was being defeated by something over and over, a besetting sin, daddy, in your life. It's affecting your family. God speak, Lord. Because David's action caused a reaction. And when David did what he did, it brought courage to the Israelites. A rock, a stone is a revelation. And the power of God had been revealed to David. And he took that revelation and he put it into motion. Round and a perpetual motion. He didn't just stick it in his pocket and hide it.
He didn't put it under a bushel. Oh no. I'm going to let it shine, David said. Huh? This little light that I have, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to put it into action. These books and these tapes, this message of the hour is not to be kept on a shelf somewhere. That's some little relic. It's some little thing that we fashion. This is my message books on my bookshelf. Have you read one in the past 10 years? Huh? I leave that up to the preacher. He'll come and tell me what. No. What happens if the preacher leaves? What happens if the preacher fails? What happens if the preacher walks away from the message? Is that true? What happens if the preacher passes away? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Little relic. Just tell something on me, little comic. I've never been one that I love the things of the message, but you know, the little trinkets and things that, you know, that's all well and good. Not saying anything against that, but I've never really been inspired by those things so much that, you know. But I went to Jeffersonville one time, and I went to Ship's Candy. I got my little thing, the little hot thing, Red Hot. See, I got it already. Lord have mercy. But I had it on my shelf, my bookshelf. That's when I was single, so it wasn't my kids, it wasn't my wife. And there was a brother that was coming into the message, and he was living with me for a while. And I told him, and I meant it, and I still mean it now. You know, you come to my house, we don't have much, but what you have is yours if you need it. But I told him, I said, whatever you need, whatever food. I came home from work one day, and brother had opened my Red Hots. My little trinket. But we set these things up. Don't let this message sit on the shelf and die. There's life in this message. David, he took God at his word, and even among all the clamor of doubt and unbelief, David still knew. David had a revelation. All the noise that's going on in the world today, it does not matter if you have a revelation of who you are. If you have a revelation of what God is and what He wants to do. This is more than meat. It's more than our natural meat. And here we are in a similar scene tonight. It's being played out once again. Thousands of years later, we have a brook, a stream, the washing of the water by the word. The brook, the stream is flowing. Is that right? Here we are once again, and a giant is coming into our land, and he's making a boast. And he's telling you, young people, you can't live this thing. You cannot do this. That's what he's boasting. That's what he's telling you. But take courage, little David, and go down by that brook, and you find you some stones. You find you some F-A-I-T-H. You find you some J-E-S-U-S. And you take that thing in your hand, and you put it in perpetual. That word means constant. You can't slack up on this word. You cannot do it, young people. You got to hold on a little longer. You got to put that thing, put it in movement, put it in perpetual motion. Every day, all day, you may get tired. Daddy may not be doing it. Mama may not be doing it. I'm not talking to mom and daddy now. I'm talking to you as young people. You get this word and you run with this word. You get an experience in him that will totally transform your life. It's time to choose your stones. It's time to choose these ammunition for battle. Let us stand, musicians, if you'll come. It's time to choose your stones, little David. It's time to receive the words of the angel of the Lord with Mary. Say, be it unto me. And to ask the question, who's this guy? As the Bible talks about, you know, we look on that day and we say, is this the man? You mean that's him? The one that caused me so much trouble down through time in my life? Mm-hmm. That's him? Mm-hmm. That's the one I was so afraid of? Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,
thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the light of your word and the life that your word gives, oh God.
Amen.
Lord, this little simple message, oh God, I believe that it's from you, and I believe it's for if it's just but for one, and oh God, you know my heart. Lord, as I stand here before these people, Lord, in the sincerity of who I am and what you've made me. God, I've always been one when I go out, Father. If it's just but for one. If it can be something that would change the course of someone's life. Change a path that they're walking on. Lord, I've seen it time and time again. Lord, as being out many times and watched different ones in the congregation or see them as they come in late in the back and just feel a certain pulsation of resistance. And Lord, then I learn their story. But Lord, then I hear how they've come to accept you through the broken up message of an old simple boy from Virginia. But oh God, we love you and we thank you for what you do and who you are. We thank you for who you're going to be, but may we become an active part of what you're doing in the land today. We thank you for this time, this space that we've had. Lord, thank you for this place, allowing the saints to come and assemble here, opening up, allowing them to have this time. So Lord, I just pray that you would bless them. And maybe, Lord, something would begin to even continue to stir on this property. Lord, that you would illuminate the eyes of the leader that's here in this church. And oh God, that he would see in your word the realities of what you are, who you are, and what you can do. And may he not shy away from it, Father. Open up his eyes. Illuminate his path, Father God, and the sheep that he has here. That he's over. We love you. Thank you for the way, Brother Andre, and the other ministers who are here. Oh God, I know I've done a feeble job, and there's others here who've done something, a much better job. But Lord, we're here. We've done what you've commissioned us to do, and we thank you. And now may your word go forth and find a life, oh God. We love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
touch you, don't get anything. He let God touch you. That was a wonderful message. He sure lost his nervousness real quick. We sure appreciate Brother Joel. Let's give him a big hand. Church, Brother Joel, last weekend, the whole weekend, I told everybody, let's do something different, talking to the youth, and he brought it out today, right? Remember? I said, look, kids, we're always saying we're praying for you, right? Because we're praying for our kids, we're praying for our youth, we're praying for our youth, we're praying for our kids, we're praying for our youth. You pray for us. You touch God. You pray for your parents to make the right decision. You pray for your parents to help you make the right decision in your life. How many of you ever done that? No, don't raise your hand because you haven't. We've never prayed for our parents. We've told them we hated them. Come on, somebody. We told them we didn't like them. We hate them. I hate you. I don't like you. Don't do that. But what if you stop and pray for them? Pray for your parents to make the correct decision. And truly pray for your parents if they're coming at you with a belt. that you'll get, it'll be easy. But we all need correction. But yeah, kids, pray for your parents. Pray that they'll make the right decision. Pray that they'll make the right job decisions and all that. And your life will be a whole lot better. I wish I'd have prayed for my parents. I pray for them now, but I should have prayed for them, Brother Joel, when I was younger. We should have prayed. As a young child, we should pray and ask the Lord to lead and guide, even your pastor back there, Brother Andre. Bless his heart, he is just, we're like Mutt and Jeff, and he's shortened up a little bit tall, but he's more calm, and I'm not. So we work good together because it's a good balance. We sure do love all of you that have come. Man, I didn't ever think there'd be this many people here, Brother Andre, but we sure do appreciate it. Give yourself a big hand. Brother Richard, people. So we're represented really well tonight. And we sure do appreciate that. We want to thank the Methodist Church for letting us use this facility. And what a wonderful facility it is for us to use. And we sure do appreciate it. Amen. Now, the rest of the service, what we're going to do is we're going to dismiss, pray over the food. Now, some of you adults, we've already eaten a lot of food. So there's pizza left over. There's hamburgers and hot dogs for the young kids to eat first. And then if there's anything left over, the adults can eat. Y'all can eat cookies or something like that. But stay in fellowship. We're gonna turn this back into a place of fellowship and be able to hang around and fellowship a little bit more. Yeah. If you're going back to your place of worship tomorrow, God bless you on the highway. We'll be staying here and we'll be speaking at Brother Andre's in the morning. So just pray for us. And we sure do appreciate all the churches that are represented, all the pastors, and all the ones that are here. So we do thank you so very much for making this special. It's been a special weekend. We wanted to do this for a long time, for Andre and myself, and there's a motive behind it, and the motive is to get us together, to fellowship together, one with the other, fellowship together around the Word of God. And if we're going to spend an eternity together, let's start doing a little bit now. Let's start getting to know each other a little bit better. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Like I said before, thank you for coming. We'll have some food. The ladies, give the ladies time to put it out and get it ready, and then just mill around if you want to in fellowship. Just say thank you again, Brother Dale, the pastor back there. He's always wanting people to fellowship. He's always wanting people to get together. So, and then we're a church that really likes to travel and visit, so we sure do appreciate it. We want you to come down and see us in Louisville. And we can return that same hospitality to you at a later date. So we thank you very much. Let's bow our heads, all minds and hearts clear. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening, Lord. Our brother has opened back the pages of the Word of God. But more than that, he's opened our heart so that we can see you more, Lord. David was a young boy. He didn't have a college education. wasn't schooled very much being the age he was, but he knew a God. He knew a God that would do exactly what he said. And one day, as the prophet said, Goliath made the wrong boast on the wrong day. When a man that was anointed to be king stood up and said, I'll take care of that today. Why would he defy the army of the living God? I say today, why let the world dictate what we do? Why let things of life that our brothers talk about, depression and different things, don't let it rule our world. Lord, may we break those, take those stones and throw it to the enemy and defeat it. Father, I pray that you be with each one, Lord. Sanctify the food that we're getting ready to partake of, Lord. Just be with us in our fellowship. Be with the ones that are going to be on the highways back home and keep them safe. Be with us tomorrow, Lord, and for them in the service. We ask your blessings on each one. Father, just give us today our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses. Bless our brother Joel, Lord, as he poured his heart out to us. Just be with him, Lord, as he continues on and preaches in different places. Father, we pray that the anointing will be on him so strong to help the young and the old, Father. We ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.